Welcome to episode 20 of Sustainable Photography. Today's guest is Kristen Sweeting. She was my coach last year and I've learned so much from her. Now it's your turn to listen to some of her wisdom. We're talking about how your brand and your business can shift with the changes that happen in your life and how you can let connection drive your creative business. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, where you get support and education to build your profitable business in a way that supports your way of living. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, and after 11 years as a photographer, I want to share what I've learned with you. So if you're looking for confidence, inspiration, and to-the-point tips, keep listening. For full transparency, I also want you to know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I might mention some of those in this episode. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so much fun to talk about you and your background and how you got started as a photographer. Maybe you can start there to say a little bit about that and how you got into being a coach.
Yeah, totally. I was like the creative that tried every single kind of creative business before I did photography. My husband doesn't even know this. So last night I was like, did you know that I had like a cupcake business and a cookie business? And like, I sold truffles for a while. And like, I had an Etsy shop where I made headbands and like reupholstered furniture. Anyway, I tried basically everything creative. I love making things, and also did a lot of volunteer work and mentoring and like worked with teenagers a lot. I studied music education. I was like, I know I love helping people and I know I love making things, you know? So like, I kind of tried all the different combinations of that that you could possibly think of. And I just had never had a nice camera until someone gave me one for my birthday, like after college. I was like working with a lot of teenagers. And so then it became a fun thing where I was like, I can take photos of the kids I'm working with just for fun, like to help them feel more confident. So we'd go on these like photo adventures and I'd take photos of the teenagers and stuff like that. And then their families hired me for their senior photos, for their family photos. It just like very naturally grew really quickly. And then I quit that job and have been a full-time photographer ever since then. So it's like, it kind of is crazy how, you know, tried a lot of businesses that didn't really go anywhere and then found photography, and it just pretty naturally, I mean, it took time, but naturally kind of developed from there.
So. Yeah. But that's quite a few years ago that you went all in.
Yeah. About 11 or 12 now. So that's been really fun. And I think even at the beginning, you know, you asked about mentoring. Even at the beginning of doing photography, because I had been mentoring in this other capacity, I already had people who were like, can I be your intern? Like before, kind of it was a thing to charge for mentoring or coaching. It just wasn't that big yet or well known. And so people would be my intern and they would help me out on photo shoots in exchange for me teaching them things. So I had a few interns when I first started, and then it kind of turned into some different mentoring opportunities. And I think the first thing I did was like workshops were really big at the time. And I was like, I don't want to be another photographer that has a workshop. Like, I don't want that to be me. But then I came up with this idea of, I called it study abroad. And it was like this week long workshop where we went somewhere together, we traveled, we studied. And that was kind of the beginning to, you know, the coaching programs that I now have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you started by doing things abroad. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was fun.
I have to start by asking what a sustainable business is to you, because that's what this podcast really is about. So what do you think it takes to run a sustainable business?
That question has changed for me a bunch of times over the course of my business. When I first started, it was, well, a sustainable business is one that pretty easily keeps bringing in more business, you know, where you're not having to worry where the next booking is coming from. Because I feel like that, especially as you're building your business, can be the most stressful part of running a photography business, is like still have bills to pay, still have rent to pay. And like, what if no one books me for their wedding? Or for like, what if people just stop booking me? So sustainable for a long time for me, and I mean, it still is like, you know, that trusting that it's going to keep bringing in new clients for you without like that worry. But on top of that, I feel like, especially right now, sustainability means like, is this emotionally sustainable for you? Is it in your health? Is it sustainable for you? Can you do 30 to 50 weddings? Can you do 100 shoots a year? You know, like, is that physically good for you? And can you emotionally keep up with that? And sometimes our capacities change. Like there have been years where I was able to take on a lot more work, and then years where my health flared up, or I was homeschooling my son during 2020, and just my capacity changed. So, you know, I know you're really passionate about this topic too, of just like, sustainability is different for every person, and it like changes for me, it changes for everyone constantly as like your life changes, you know, like when you have a kid, like sustainability in your business, like a small child, is really different than when you have no kids, or when your kid's 10 is really different than when they're 2. So I think like a sustainable business is one that takes a full look at someone's life and is something that is really supportive of how you want to be as a full human, not just like a business, not just a revenue number, not just being fully booked or whatever. I think it's like way more interconnected than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're not just running our business. For most of us, our business is part of our life. So it's important not to disconnect one from the other. I completely agree with that. But like, if I want to change my business, what would you say that I can do? And how have you changed in your business? Like, how do you deal with all the changes that naturally happen in a life and also apply it to your business?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of journaling because I think it makes us get what's in our head out onto paper. And even just once a week or once a month, having a sit down with yourself and being like, what does life look like right now? And how do I want to show up in these different aspects of my life? So say you are a wedding photographer and you're a coach and you're a partner and maybe you have a parent that you're now caretaking for, you know? So you're like, you have these big aspects of your life and you can almost just like map them out on this paper and take a second and be like, how do I want to show up in these? So I think figuring out your what and like how first, you know, your how you want to be showing up as a daughter, how you want to be showing up as a partner, and then just getting really, really realistic. You're like, this is my budget. And so this is what I need to charge. This is how many weddings I need to do. So it starts with like really looking at it on the emotional side and then doing the math. You know, so big thing for me in the past, when I had my son, I had a high risk pregnancy. I was anxious. I laid in bed for 9 months, you know, like it wasn't great. And it wasn't like the time my business was doing the best either, you know, but during those times I made some big changes because I was like, I want to be very available for my family when I have a kid. So I was doing commercial photography and event photography and portraits and weddings. I was doing all these things. And I made the choice to say, I'm going to do 10 weddings a year. This is what I need financially to contribute to my family. This is the time that I want opened. I don't want to be working every weekend and I don't want to be working during the week. And so made that choice like 10 weddings. Okay, well, financially, if I have to provide the X amount of money, how much do I have to charge per wedding? So even if you're like, okay, that means I need to at least charge $5,000 a wedding. If you're not there yet, at least you have a goalpost of what to work towards. You're like, maybe I can't charge that yet, but I'm going to start charging more so I can get there, so I can have the sustainable business that supports the way that I want to show up for my family. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of people forget to think about the effects of pricing and what they decide to charge. It affects everything from like how much they have to work to who they end up working with and how their lives are spent, basically. Like, it changes everything.
Yeah, definitely. And it takes trial and error. And because nothing's perfect and we don't know what we don't know, like, try things. And I think just make sure you keep having those check-ins. So if you're like, 2021, you know, a lot of photographers, 2021, that was crazy. Like, I'm so burned out. I'm so tired. Like, okay, it doesn't have to be that way this year. What was too much? What boundaries need to be put in place going forward? How do we need to readjust our pricing so that we can have more free time? You know, it's a great time right now to make a lot of those adjustments.
And I think that's also why I'm such a fan of not booking too far into the future. I see that a lot of people are happy when they've booked a wedding like 2 or 3 years away. And it's like, oh, that's crazy. I would never do that because I would probably want completely different prices. I don't know how much I would want to work. For me, it's been kind of the same. Like, I've had 1 year where I feel like I've worked too much, and then the next year ends up being too little. And so, yeah, it's important to adjust and make some changes along the way.
And, you know, one of my rules is I don't book more than 2 weddings in 1 month. That rule got thrown out the window in 2021 with reschedules. But in general, it's like 1 to 2 weddings a month. And that's my boundary. So I have some free weekends. So you can kind of set those rules and readjust them as you like see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also know that connection is very important to you and your business, both in the way like you don't want to take on too many weddings because you want to actually get to know the people that you're photographing. And also in terms of your coaching, maybe you can speak to that a little bit and maybe give some advice to how other photographers can let connection drive their creative business.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, to start with weddings, there was a wedding that I did a few years ago. I mean, it was probably a lot of years ago now, where it was a friend of mine. So someone I knew really well. And I showed up at the wedding. It was pouring, raining. She was stressed out, but I was able to guide her through that day emotionally as a friend. I knew all the important people there on her wedding day. I knew who she would want a photo with. So when she was distracted, I could be like, hey, come over here. Like, let's make sure we get a photo with this person because I know they're really important to you. And I walked away from that wedding saying like, I do such a better job for people when I'm working for my friends. Why is that? And I realized it was because I felt really connected to that person. I really knew her. I understood her like fears and I understood her values. And so I took that and tried to apply it to everyone that I worked with from then on. I was like, the way that I love working is to feel really connected with each client, like I've been their friend for years. And so how do I make that happen? And I found that that totally transformed how I photographed weddings because I go in knowing every like family member's name, who's important, what that couple really wants to feel on the day, who might be a trigger person for them, like who might stress them out. Like, I am their friend. You know, and so the way that I can capture their day is way more intimate. It's way more connected. I can guide them through a day in a really meaningful way and can have a conversation if I see someone is feeling stressed. So I can't do that for 30 people in a year. I just can't. Going back to the sustainable thing, like, I don't have the capacity to learn all those names for 30 different couples, to really understand all those different aspects of someone's life or their values. So part of being able to do that is limiting numbers, raising prices. Also, I keep very detailed notes on everyone I work with for weddings, for coaching, because each of those things is so individual. And even if you're working with someone in a group setting, like, it's still an individual within a group. You still have to know that person's fears, what motivates them, what encourages them, what they're striving towards. And so it takes like a lot of kind of like holding space for each person. So again, that's kind of part of why sustainable for me, and this isn't going to be for everyone because not everyone runs a wedding day the way that I do, but sustainable for me is smaller numbers, higher prices, and a lot of space in my schedule so I can give that attention to each person. So yeah, that one instance at that one wedding was like the light bulb moment of this is when it feels like I'm doing my best work. And so like, what do I need to put in place to let that happen?
This is just a quick interruption to say that this episode is brought to you by the Sustainable Photography Program. So let's just get you to a place where you can make more money so that you can enjoy life more. A place where you're attracting the right clients that'll give you your creativity back. And while we're at it, let's make sure you spend less time working in front of your computer. Instead, let's build your confidence and your mindset to a place where you can reach your dreams. If this sounds like something you want to do, go over to ingvildkolnes.com/sustainable to learn more. I think it's really important to look at what you're doing and evaluate and change with it as you say, like just finding a way to change with whatever you experience. And what about when it comes to other things? Because you're such a creative person. I mean, you've talked about all the things that you like to do. What would you say that like this is the driving force behind what you do, behind your business?
For me, a lot of it is the people. It's really caring about people, about making the world a more creative place, more connected, happier place. Because I really think that like when we connect with other people on deeper levels, we do way more than just like what happens in that moment. You know, it has ripple effects on the people they then interact with and the people they then interact with. And so I think creativity and connection are extremely powerful, and it feels like my purpose on earth, you know, is to help make people feel more whole and more wholly creative and loved and connected. But as far as creativity, I'm like, right now my creativity is, I find a lot of creative energy in my parenting. I love parenting, and we just have the best time. We play Mario Golf all the time, and now I'm like baking sourdough bread every day because I don't know, you know, like, so I find other ways to, I think like making sure you're not only being creative when you're getting paid for it is really important. And that doesn't have to mean like if photography is your career, it doesn't have to mean I need to go shoot personal work constantly, although I do think that's important. It can also mean go, you know, paint something random on your wall, you know, or go like plan a creative trip for you and your friend, or like allow yourself to experience the creativity that you're helping your clients experience, because that is what helps feed it and, you know, keep it coming back. Otherwise, we're like, we hit walls in our creativity when we're only giving and not also receiving that energy back.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a nice perspective. I think when you're a photographer and you know you kind of need to feed your creativity, it's easy to think that, oh, it has to be photography related. But yeah, of course it doesn't.
I call it cross training. Like, have you ever run a race or do sports or done sports or anything like that? I'm like the least athletic person ever, but for some reason I still like running. I just run very, very slowly, you know? So I've been training for something again. I haven't trained for a race in over 10 years. Slowest marathon runner you've ever seen. It was like a 5-hour marathon. It was really slow. So I'm training for something again. And it just reminds me, like, you have to consistently run 2 short runs a week, 1 long run a week, and you have to slowly build it up. There's so many like parallels to business. Like, you have to keep showing up. You have to go out and run when you don't want to, when your knees hurt and it's snowing. And then you have to do like the short training runs and the long run where you keep pushing it higher and higher. And then you also have to cross train. So like on Sunday, I do yoga, or I, you know, play soccer outside with my son or lift weights. And I think creativity works similarly. You can't just eat, breathe, sleep, photography. like go to a museum and look at art. Get your colored pencils and markers and paint out and just like make something messy over here, you know? Like, I think that that is so important too, because it's really easy to just only look at our peers' work, only look at other wedding photographers' work, and all of a sudden we're all just doing the same thing, and that's not creativity.
So true, absolutely. But you've worked with so many photographers and also other creatives over the years, and you've probably seen people make some mistakes. What do you think most people mess up when making their creativity part of their livelihood?
I think the easiest thing to mess up is to do what everyone else is doing, or to overthink our own, like what's pulling at our own soul, like overthink it so much to the point where we lose kind of that spark or that joy in it. It won't be perfect on the way to building your business or honing your style or your branding. It's not supposed to look perfect. It's supposed to be messy. But when we are like, oh, I shouldn't do that because, you know, no one else is doing that, or I shouldn't do that because it's not high end enough or whatever, it takes some of the magic out. So I feel like times where I don't really consider anything a mistake. I think everything is a learning experience. I think it's all really valuable information, even when we make like mistakes. But I think like if there's anything I regret, it's the years of overthinking what people would think about me if I stepped into something that I really wanted to do. It's the years of watching, like trying to align myself with too many other people instead of kind of doing the harder and more courageous thing, which is to do something completely different than everybody else, you know? But where we'll find the most aligned clients, when we're staying true to ourselves, we will have the most sustainable photography business when we stay true to ourselves. But it's so easy to absorb other people's goals for us or other people's ideas of what success is. And everyone will do it at some point, you know? So like, that's okay. But just keeping, you know, being able to see, being able to check in with yourself when you'd be like, am I doing this for me or for someone else, is a really good question to keep asking.
Have you ever felt like you've been in kind of a creative drought? I mean, just because you're so creative, have you ever had that feeling of, I don't know what to do now?
Oh yeah, I hate being in that place where I'm like, oh no. And the more I try to think my way out of it, and I do this with lots of things, like the more I try to logic my way out of it, think my way out of it, the more frustrated I get. And so if you're in that place of either burnout or confusion, or I'm looking in all these directions and don't really know what to do, my best advice for that is like, get out there and do stuff that sounds exciting, or try something that you liked when you were a kid. I've been doing a lot more kind of inner child work, or like going back to my authentic self. So, you know, a way to kind of practice that is think, what do I remember about myself as a kid? So Kristen, as a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, like made her own hair scrunchies and dressed herself in bright colors that nothing matched, and was very friendly, was always helping, like volunteering with the older ladies at the church. And we worked in a soup kitchen, and I would go around and like offer people massages and be like, can I like brighten your day? You know, so like my authentic self is not afraid of what other people think about her, is wearing all the bright colors, even though everyone else is wearing neutrals, has that big scrunchie in her hair, and is making friends with everyone she sees, you know, and is in her bedroom making like jewelry and things like that, you know? So like, what did your child self do? Was she riding horses? Was she playing soccer? What, like, go back and explore some of those parts of you. And it might seem like totally different than what you think you should do to build your photography business. Or you're like, this one thing really interests me. Follow that. Be like, could you photograph something that's related to something you really love? Could you make it a personal project? Could you go volunteer in this way? Everything is a little path, like a little stepstone on a path towards where you're going. You don't have to see the 100 steps ahead of you. You just have to take those next steps. And like I told you, I was a music major who then worked at a mega church that then like did all these different things that don't seem like they make any sense. And they all were part of bringing my business to where it is now, bringing me as an artist to where I am now. So just like go and try some stuff, do some things that don't make sense to other people, because that curiosity is really, really important.
I think a lot of people might lose that along the way, probably as you're trying to like fit in. Even if you can maybe find back to where everything stems from, it's probably hard to do the thing that you maybe think you should. Were you able to use what you remembered about yourself as a child to let that give you more creativity?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little bit in that spot right now where I noticed myself approaching burnout. And so it was like, whoa, 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 we got to figure some stuff out. So I'm back in the kitchen baking. I'm back doing things that I loved as a kid. I'm going on walks and runs. And one of the things I talk about in some of my programs is like when I was going through a really hard time and I started doing like dance runs where I would like dance down the street and just like anything to kind of like break that cycle of it really matters what other people think about me. Try dancing down and skipping down the street and see what people think. Like it actually doesn't change. Like it doesn't matter. No one knows you anyways, but it's like so uncomfortable to do that. And then it also is like so freeing at the same time. You're just picturing me dancing down the street, right?
I was actually, yeah. Were you wearing colorful clothes as well?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Where do you think it kind of stems from, your passion to help others with their business?
I had so many years of suffering. Pain is real, but we create our own suffering, you know? Like I had so many years where I really let myself suffer in my business. And I don't want other people to have to suffer in their business. I think that your creative business can be such a place of healing and joy and passion and purpose. And I think that when we are more lined up with that version of ourselves and our businesses, so many good things come from that. So many good things in the world, in our communities, in our own families, in our lives. So it feels like helping someone break free of like a cage that they put themselves in. And I think that's just like my favorite thing to see.
Yeah, that's really nice. But what if the person who's listening right now wants to have that kind of a business, you know, one that they feel more connected to and work with people that they feel more connected to? What can they do? Like right now?
Right now. It's going to sound scary, but like think about a person in your life that you think is so fun or cool or like you would love to work with. Think about like, because there is someone in your life that you wish you were friends with or you wish you were working with or you've looked up to them for forever and haven't told them. Think of that person, and this is just the very first step, but like message them and try to get to know them better, or message them and ask them to model for you for a creative shoot just for free, for fun. Like create something with the people and the energy that you're wanting to attract more of. And I think like I say this and I'm also like, I hear people on the other side of the podcast being like, I could never do that. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Just pick up the phone and put yourself out there. I'm an introvert too. It might not seem like it, but like just try it. Someone saying no is not the worst thing that could ever happen. And they'll probably say yes because people want to put on cute clothes and dance around in front of a camera. I promise you they do. Make your own magic. If you want something to happen, like pitch it or invite someone to do it with you. The best career building things, relationship building things, have come from me suggesting it to someone. So I think, like, just don't be afraid to suggest it.
We're taking a quick ad break.
After 10 years as a photographer, my friend Gyril knew what she was doing. But after joining the Sustainable Photography Program, she's gotten so much further. She's booked a dream wedding in Tuscany, completely redone her branding, and has even released a whole new photography concept. She says, "The program is amazing. I've been working as a photographer for 10 years, but finally Ingvild has pushed me to be the photographer I want to be. Go for it." So if you want to go for it, then go over to ingvildkolnes.com/sustainable to learn more. I think probably a lot of people would be pretty afraid to do that and take that step.
Well, so a smaller step is like, okay, maybe this one person is super intimidating. Who is the closest, who's the lowest hanging, or not lowest hanging fruit, but just like, what's the easiest next step? Like your sister or your best friend who got married a couple years ago and still has a wedding dress they can put on. Like, you're like, I want to shoot more elopements. Okay, cool. Find a friend who will get dressed up for you and take a road trip, you know? So like, if what I said first is too, like, feels unattainable, start with, like, the next, you know, the next closest thing that makes it less scary. And you can work up to that other, you can work up to the dream situation or whatever that, you know, first came to mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I just know that for me, just doing that first ask, that can be really intimidating. Whenever I've been on vacation, I've wanted to shoot like a cute couple on the beach or something like that. And that means walking up to them and asking if I can take their photo. And that is such a challenge for me. I think I've seen people and I was like, oh, I'm going to ask them. And then it's just too difficult. But I've managed to do it like in the end. But that's after like days of just dreading it because I want it so bad. But at the same time, it's pretty scary to ask someone that, probably because it's something that you really want and then more is at stake.
Yeah. Is asking that stranger, the couples that are a stranger, is that scarier than asking someone you kind of know, or would asking someone you kind of know feel scarier?
In this case, it would probably be easier to ask someone I kind of know. And it would probably be easier to do it through like social media, to just like kind of get to know them maybe a little bit first and just through some DMs back and forth and then asking. I probably wouldn't ask like straight out, but if it was like on the phone, I would never ever do it.
See, you know yourself, you know what's going to be the easier. You're like, okay, asking myself to talk to a strange couple on the beach might be a lot, but like, what if I find a friend of a friend who lives in that town who could model? And there's little tiny steps you can take towards the stranger ask too, like smiling at people at coffee shops. Sometimes it gets you hit on, sometimes it doesn't. But like, you know, smiling or talking to the barista, talking to, like, there's these little ways to kind of build up that courage that don't have a lot of risk involved. And then it gets easier as you go.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I really like it.
That's amazing that you like did that though. That's huge.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that the first couple I asked, they were so flattered and they really wanted to do it. And that was after me like wanting to ask them for such a long time. And then when I finally did it, they really wanted to do it, but they were just about to leave to go home from vacation. So I didn't actually get to take their photo, but it did teach me that if I would have just asked like straight away, then we could have done it. But since I waited to the last possible moment, then I missed out. So yeah, taking chances it's important to take some chances.
That must have felt good to realize like, oh, this actually made their day that I asked them to model. And, you know, holding ourselves back from some of those scary choices sometimes might be, you know, taking away an opportunity that someone else would really love, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's important to just think about it from the other person's side as well, like giving them the opportunity to say no, because if they don't want to do it, they can just say no. So when it comes to branding, as photographers, most of us, we're just us, just one person doing photography. And for most of us, it makes sense to have a personal brand. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that and how we can change with it. You know, like how our brand can change with the changes of our lives so that we don't have to create a new brand every single time we think of a new project.
Totally. Yeah. I was just talking about Taylor Swift with someone the other day because I was like, all of Taylor's albums are so different than the last one. She's always, you know, kind of pushing what's new and what's edgy and is using her creativity and evolving a lot. But the underlying brand there is like her journey and her telling the truth about who she is and what she values and like where life is taking her, you know? So like, even though all of those albums sound so different, it all makes sense and we follow along with her. And it doesn't make us just think about her. It makes us think about us and our evolution. She like carries us through our own journey by sharing her journey with us. And so that's kind of what I think about with personal branding is you don't have to be like, I love fancy shoes and I love, you know, like mansions on a hill and like, I'm very fancy, you know, like we don't have to only think about aesthetic as it comes to branding. And I actually think that when you have a connected brand or when you have connection in your creativity, it's much more about what you value and who you are and how that connects with your client. So, I mean, some like really practical tips to think about that, like how to niche based on your values and your interests versus niching based on your aesthetic. So like some of mine, and these kind of carry through my whole life. So like Kristen as a mom is very different than Kristen as a, you know, teenage mentor back then or whatever, like it looks on the surface different, but I would say my values have stayed pretty similar. So like connection, hospitality, freedom, generosity. And I would say the same is true for my coaching clients and my photography clients. So like my wedding photography clients, they throw these huge weddings. It's amazing the events that they put on. But the reason is because they want to be generous to their friends and family. They are great hosts and like they're very intentional about every aspect of their day. So we have this like deep understanding that connects across like whether they're, you know, whether they like pink or they want neutrals, you know, like we have a deeper brand connection. So think about like, what are some things that you really value as a person yourself? And start there and start making connections. Like, who were your favorite clients you've ever worked with? I bet there's a value connection. There is something that you valued that they valued. And just like start thinking about all the ways that you guys connected. So some other ideas, a lot of photographers have like adventure, travel, food, experiences, peace, attention to detail, timelessness. Like those are a lot of things you could think about. Like which ones do I really feel pulled towards? And then like have someone that you really trust look through your work and tell you what they see, tell you what they feel when they look at your work. And challenge yourself. If you're not creating a really strong feeling, I might challenge yourself to lean into your work a little bit more and look for making that connection through your work to something deeper. So have someone you trust look through your work, tell you what they see. Some ways to discover what might be some of your values. So if you have paper, I know like when you're listening to a podcast, you don't usually take notes, but like look back through your client reviews. What are some words that clients say about you and your work? Like, did you make them feel peaceful? Did you make them feel seen or understood? Did they have fun with you? Like, what are some of those words that you see again and again? What do people tell you on their intake calls? Why they reached out to you? Like why they were drawn to your work or to you? Look at your intake calls, your inquiry forms, see what words are repeated a lot. Spend some time journaling about how you prioritize your time in your personal life. And then have someone like help you. Once you kind of have narrowed down some of those words or those feelings, have someone do a portfolio review for you. Say like, these are the things that I want to make sure people are feeling when they see my work. Can you help me tighten up my portfolio? Curation is so, so important to your personal branding and to your photography branding. And having those kind of like 3 to 4 words that you really want to impress on people is going to help someone help like make that portfolio clear as day. And so then even if your style changes or you stop doing weddings and you do families, like you won't have to totally reinvent the wheel because you're carrying people through on that journey with you. When I've niched to just weddings or just a certain type of weddings like that, you can do that too. But having that deeper undercurrent of your values helps you kind of like helps make that deeper connection and then gives you a lot more flexibility to change if it's something that you want to change in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you recommend doing to build a sustainable business?
I would recommend really starting with deeper connections and getting to know people. All you really need to have a successful photography business is 3 consistent people who refer you over and over. So like focus on quality of relationships and connections, doing a really great job for people, knowing what you're trying to say and what stories you're trying to tell. And like, just, it's okay to go deep. You don't need a million Instagram followers to have a consistent client base. You don't need everyone to know your name to have a really meaningful business. You need 3 people that you change their life so much that they'll tell everybody about it. Hopefully that's encouraging. I think I have felt discouraged when I was starting because it's like, how am I supposed to get those numbers up? How am I supposed to get my work out there for people to see? And it can feel really frantic, like, see this, look at this, do this. Like you're just kind of throwing things around, hoping that something sticks. And focusing on just that slow build and doing a really great job for the people that you're already working with will create a sustainable business.
I think you're completely right. Absolutely. So where can the listener go to keep learning from you, Kristen?
I'm on Instagram a lot at Kristen Sweeting. Our coaching programs are Dangerous Creatives and we have like retreats and stuff. But most of the time I'm just at Kristen Sweeting and I'm just so glad. Thank you for having me on here. I love what you do and love this podcast and just so proud of the work that you do for your clients. So thank you for having me here.
Yeah, it's been so much fun, Kristen. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Sustainable Photography. Head over to Instagram at Ingvild Kolnes to tell me what you want future episodes to be all about. Check out the show notes over at ingvildkolnes.com/podcast. You can learn more about the Sustainable Photography Program and sign up for the waitlist there. To get more of this content, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Your support makes all the difference. Talk soon.